Hey there, and thanks for joining us for this Friday Drivecast. My name is Chris Wurzowski, and I serve as the Family Ministries Pastor at our Lewis Center campus. Well, we just got done with our annual Now Playing series across our campuses, where we focus on how the best stories really point us to the greatest story. Now, one of my favorite movie scenes ever actually takes place towards the end of the 2019 blockbuster, Avengers Endgame. At the beginning and throughout the movie, there's really this sense that the bad guys have won and that there's very little hope. And in fact, that many of the good guys, the Avengers, had previously been defeated and are gone. And as the story progresses, these heroes that seem to be gone, in effect, are resurrected in anticipation that the main villain and his armies, which really represent evil and injustice, are going to be defeated. In fact, this scene was so powerful that after the movie came out, people began posting on YouTube audience reactions to this scene, where folks were clapping and cheering during these moments of resurrection and restoration as the good guys kind of came back and are ready to defeat evil. You know, the reality is that there is something deep within us that resonates with stories like this, where we see goodness and righteousness triumph over evil and injustice. Stories like this really do point us to the greatest story. And really, God is the author of the greatest story, and the end game has already been written. Isaiah 25, starting in verse 6, says, "On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all the peoples a feast of choice meat, a feast with aged wine, prime cuts of choice meat, fine vintage wine. On this mountain, he will destroy the burial shroud, the shroud over all the peoples, the sheet covering all the nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove his people's disgrace from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken." You know, for all of history, the end game is already set. And it is this, that God is going to renew and restore a people from all nations for himself. You know, throughout the Old Testament, God's plan was not just for Israel, but it was for the nations through Israel. And we see that come to reality through the person of Jesus Christ, who through his death and resurrection defeated sin and even death itself. And one day we will see another great resurrection, where God will remove sin and death forever, and God's people will be with him. One commentary says this: "What we see here is God undoing and repairing all the damage sin has done. Just as sin has wrecked and broken every aspect of our world and all who inhabit it, God will do away with the curse of sin completely and all the suffering and disgrace that comes along with it." You know, we have each experienced the reality of pain and brokenness that comes with sin in our world. Maybe we've experienced it in our relationships through conflict, maybe even in our families. We've experienced this pain and this brokenness in our fears and our anxieties and our worries, maybe even in our regrets, the things we wish we would have said differently or done differently, or maybe about things about our lives now that we just wish were different, or maybe concerns we have for the future. The hope that we have is that these things will not last forever. They are not the end game, but God taking them away is. And instead, for those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ, we will experience this fulfilled promise of renewal, restoration, and celebration. Isaiah 25 continues in verse 9. It says, "And on that day it will be said, look, this is our God. We have waited for him and he has saved us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. For the Lord's power will rest on this mountain." You know, friends, as we wait for this final ultimate renewal and restoration, we can rejoice and be glad now, right? And we can worship the author and the hero of the greatest story, because we know that the end is written and we know that our hope is ultimately in him. And this is also a good reminder to us that if this is the story that matters, and if God is both the author and the hero, well, then we're the supporting cast. And if that's the case, and if this is the story that matters, doesn't it make sense to completely orient our lives around what matters to the story? Doesn't it make sense in how we set our priorities and where we invest our time and our energy and our resources, in the things that we care about, how we lead our families, how we relate to other people, and ultimately where we place our hope? Friends, the end game is written, and our hope is sure because our God is faithful, and He is just, and He is good. And so as characters, as players in that story, may we be reminded that the time and the resources and the energy that we have now, may we invest it into the greatest story of God restoring and renewing people, in Him drawing people to Himself and giving them new life. Friends, this is the story that matters. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You for who You are, that You are the great author, that You are not only the creator, but You are the author of all of redemptive history, in which You have worked out history for Your glory and for Your plan to draw people back to Yourself so they might be forgiven, redeemed, and restored through Your Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, thank You for that story, and thank You that even though we live in a world now that is impacted by the realities of sin and death, we know that reality won't last forever, and that one day You will wipe away every tear from our eyes, God. And You will renew us and restore us and draw You back to Yourself, and we will celebrate the victory we have in You. And God, help us to count our days, and help us to be mindful of the times we're in, and to be careful, God, to invest our lives into the story. That God, as You have given us grace, may we be banner carriers for that same grace as we go to work, to school, into our communities, as we spend time with family members, so they may know the gospel, so that people may know the gospel, and so they may know You, the great author, the great redeemer. Now, we love You, and we thank You for the hope that we have in You, God. Help us, Lord, to be champions of Your gospel wherever we go today, God. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, thanks so much for joining me for the LifePoint Drivecast today. Hey, this Sunday, we've got in-person services. You can check out time and location information at lifepointohio.com. Or if you'd like to join us for online services, you can do that. Just go to lifepointohio.com/watch, and you can join us there. We're starting a brand new series. I'm so excited about this series. It's called Detours. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life where I have felt lost, and maybe you have felt lost at different points. We deal with lostness just in our world, in our relationships. Maybe we felt lost in our careers or in our faith or in life before. And the idea of the story is this, that God uses our wrong turns to get us to the right places. Pastor and author Tim Keller, he says this, "Christianity is the history of grace to those who don't deserve it, aren't looking for it, and don't appreciate it once they have it." It's such a great statement. And so we're going to see how God gives us grace, even in those times where we feel lost or we are lost. So make sure you join us for services, either in person or online, this Sunday. Thanks so much.